settle in and listen to our mixtape. And now the music vanishes. Enjoy your buttock sandwiches.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of The Mixtape. I'm Jason Emmett.
I'm KC Masterpiece.
And I'm Twisted Kid Matt.
And we are without Stewie tonight. Stewie had some other things going on and couldn't make it. We want to start by saying, because he's going to listen to this, I'm sure. Stu, we are all very happy to hear that you do not have to go through what we thought you were going to have to go through. We'll leave it at that so the folks at home can follow us on social media to find out more information, because I'm sure we'll talk about it over there. But we thought our boy Stu was going to have to go through some really bad stuff. And it's still not great stuff.
Like Kentucky.
But it's much
better. It's better, yeah, than the stuff that we heard that he might go through.
I heard that, man. Why are you hitting the stroke video?
It just auto-played.
Nobody stroked. I don't know if you caught it. When I said he's going to have to go through some bad stuff, Matt goes, like Kentucky. we're just glad that it's not going to be nearly what it was and that everything's going to be okay. So we're just happy. We're happy, Stu. We're happy. So tonight we're going to be talking about some of the biggest controversies in music history. And man, when we started putting this thing together, I thought we'll have an episode. Yeah, I mean, we got like four episodes worth of shit. Yeah,
this is going to be a multi-parter.
It is. Well, music has been around for a while, so yeah. Let's start with Mozart.
At least since the 60s.
Crazy shit. Yeah. Yep. So we did. Yeah. Well, we're some of this stuff is sort of before the 60s, I guess. Mostly the 60s. We're
going to talk back about a ways.
Character that the character himself at least started before the 60s, but the controversy didn't happen then, I guess. So we're just going to get started. We're going to get started, and I'm going to give you our little subtitles, and then we're going to discuss what each controversy was. And the first one we're going to talk about tonight, I call a rabid fan. So it's 1982, right? Des Moines, Iowa, of all places, because it doesn't get more metal than Des Moines, Iowa. Guy named Mark Neal, 17-year-old kid, right? He's at a concert for one of his favorite musicians. He decides he's going to pay tribute to that musician, and he tosses a bat up on stage. Now, he says it was a dead bat. The musician said it was an alive bat. Who knows? Well, we actually do know now.
Yeah.
Seeing it, this insane musician picks up the bat, bites down on its head.
Mm-mm.
So, what did Ozzy Osbourne have to say of this initial experience of biting on this bat's head?
He said,
that would have been great, by the way.
Yeah,
he said,
for a start, my mouth was instantly full of this warm, gloopy liquid with the worst aftertaste you could ever imagine. Sharon, I could feel it staining my teeth and running down my chin.
So that's what Ozzy had to say of the experience. He said, my mouth was instantly full of this warm, gloopy liquid with the worst aftertaste you could ever imagine.
That's what she said.
Staining my teeth and running down my chin. Now later on, Ozzy did state that he thought it was a fake bat, that he never imagined it was going to be a real bat. I imagine that once he bit down, he had to like,
he's got to follow through.
Yes, you can't just stop biting off the head of a bat.
No,
right? I've always said that. You can't stop once you pop.
I mean, think about the poor bat. I mean, he's like partially got his neck cut off. I mean, you got to like follow through. Yeah.
Put it out of its misery.
Right.
And I'm all about bats, for the record. This is one of the most metal like things that's ever happened.
So you're all about that bat? Bat, no pigeons.
I mean, they gotta be low in fat, right?
Air rats? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
So this did a couple of things for Ozzy, right? One, it cemented Osbourne as both insane and metal as hell. This is considered one of the most metal things to ever happen. It also landed him in the damn hospital where he got a full round of rabies shots. So,
like you do.
I think Ozzy has learned his lesson. Don't bite shit that random fans throw on stage. But it was Ozzy. He's also the guy who snorted ants. You know, he was crazy. And I'm sure there were a lot of drugs involved. So.
Oh, yeah.
The next controversy we have to talk about tonight, I'm calling Kanye and the Swifties. which sounds like a children's book. I'm sure most of us know this controversy. But this is, we were kind of, we've talked about this. This was kind of the beginning of the end for Kanye. This was 2009, the MTV Video Awards, I think it was, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Video so, Music Awards.
Taylor Swift gets up to accept the award for Best Female Video.
Who?
What was Taylor Who's Swift? This lady? Taylor Swift.
Never heard of her.
Yeah, she's a little known star.
Really? Not even in Kansas City. Haven't heard of her. Haven't made any appearances.
Hasn't made any appearances. Not a one.
She's never been there. Yeah. What did she deserve it? I don't know. A lot of people say she didn't. It doesn't really matter. She won it, and that's mm-hmm. what matters. But there is at least one person who didn't think she deserved the damn award, and that was Kanye West, Mr. Loudmouth himself. So Kanye hops up on stage and literally takes the mic out of her hands, which was shocking enough. And she looked pretty shocked. I remember watching this live.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's pretty shocking. He tells everyone that Beyonce has been robbed of this award and leaves her standing on the stage fairly speechless. And then he just sort of like fucking shrugs and walks off the stage. Like, whatever. What are you guys gonna
do?
Well,
Kanye's gonna Kanye. You know?
I'm surprised she didn't write a song.
Totally. Just, now, I got two questions. How old was Taylor Swift in during this? And
it's 2009. She's 30 like, something. She's like 32 or something like that now. I don't know. She was young.
Well, was this before? Was this before or after Kanye's mother passed away?
Because this was after
she passed.
Is it after?
I'm pretty sure.
This was,
yeah,
this was That's one what, of the first.
It might have been like, right around the same time, actually.
This was one of the first kind of "what the fuck is Kanye doing?" things that really happened. This sparked like a big feud between the two of them for like over a year. I think they've made up now, though. Like,
there I was don't a think. Feud.
I just saw a picture with them, like. With each other, so I thought maybe I don't know, but one of my favorite things in the
this
world
is after she had died in 2007.
Oh, okay, so it was a couple years after.
Yeah,
so he gets attacked.
He was going through it at the time.
Yeah,
he gets attacked by mainstream media. He gets attacked by the Swifties, but my favorite is Barack Obama, who on a live hot mic calls him a jackass. Which is so good, and I loved it so much, and I totally agree. Like I said, they feuded for like over a year back and forth, the two of them, and which, you know, it's kind of weird to think of Taylor Swift feuding with a rap star because she's not going to win, but she has the Swifties, so she is going to win.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder if Kanye would survive this same feud today or if they would demolish him.
I feel like it could get reignited at any point in time because he never shuts up.
Right. But the thing is he's lost favor with people, and she's got the Swifties, man, and they are way bigger than they were in
2000. Yeah, Taylor Swift is battle hardened by now. I mean, she had Kid Rock on her ass, she had, you know, Kanye, she
microphone
had
on her
party
ass.
Microphone.
She's always putting the microphone right up to her ass. Fear knows that.
No.
Yeah,
well, look, I look
it
up. Now.
She it looks like she's constantly about ready to fart into a microphone.
Okay, it's weird.
Weird that you notice that. I'm not going to kink shame Matt, but you know, that's
show bringing you the hard hits.
All right.
I also, this is not part of that controversy, but this just shows more of who Kanye is. The dumbass then attacked, which I guess I'm not calling him a dumbass for attacking George Bush. That's your right if you want to attack the president. But in September 2005, it's how he went about it and what he did that makes it.
That was a shock.
He's on TV with Mike Myers. Yes, Austin Powers, Mike Myers. And they're there to help support New Orleans' struggle to recover from Hurricane Katrina.
Mm-hmm.
ABC aired a concert for hurricane relief, and Kanye was there as a speaker. But Kanye didn't stick to the script. Shocking, I know.
What?
Mike Myers.
Off script and off his meds.
He's introducing this little bit, and he hands it over to Kanye. And right in the middle, Kanye says, "George Bush doesn't care about black people," to which Mike Myers just freezes, stares at him for a few seconds, and then tries to recover as best he can. So it was weird. Really weird time and place for that, Kanye. So
the look on Mike Myers' face. God.
And also, who was the producer that was like, "Okay, Mike, you're going to be over here with Kanye. Kanye, have you met Mike yet? Okay, no. All right, no. Talk about a very serious subject. and go. And then all of a sudden, George Bush doesn't care about black people. Wait, what? And then like, that's what? The look. That's the look right there of a man.
It's very stunned. And it takes him a few seconds. He's kind of like, well, and then he tries to like continue on. It's yeah. Which, by the way,
it would have been so good if he went into Wayne and was just like, okay,
all right,
yeah,
all right, cool. Yeah.
Party on, Kanye.
I did not know that. Oh God. So we're going to talk about another jackass now. Actually, I think this is just a very mentally messed up person. I want to
call him unhinged.
About,
yeah.
I want to talk about that time Phil Spector killed someone. That's really how we're going to put it. That time Phil Spector killed someone. So I don't know if some of you youngins out there know who Phil Spector is. You should. Because in the world of music and as far as being a producer, he's a genius.
Yeah. Freaking legend. As far as music.
Yeah. I mean, he worked with the Righteous Brothers, the Ronettes, the Beatles, and a butt ton of other people over the years. But he's kind of the one that kind of helped create the Beatles. You know, he kind of helped create the Ronettes, which he kind of.
I wonder if he ever worked with Charles Manson.
That's a good question.
They were both in music.
I can look it up.
Yeah. So he did work with the Beach Boys, right?
Charles Manson did, yeah.
I mean, Phil Spector. But yes, I knew that Charles Manson did.
I would be shocked if he didn't work with the Beach Boys, but I really don't know.
That'd be a very interesting connection.
Well, he's considered one of the most influential figures in the music industry ever. Like, literally, he is considered that. Unfortunately, from what I gather, his personal life was not so great. He was a mess, from what I gather. In the 70s, he started becoming something of a recluse. That actually started after a nearly fatal car crash where he was thrown through the windshield. And originally they thought he was dead, but one of the cops on site detected a faint pulse and they rushed him to the hospital. It's the only reason he lived in the first place. But he had scarring. He had scarring on his face and on the back of his head. And a lot of people think that that's why he started wearing the crazy wigs to kind of hide the scarring on his head. Don't know. He did continue to work after that, but not as much. And he kind of started dodging the public eye. Then in 1981, he pretty much stopped doing stuff altogether.
He looks like a puppet from George Henson. Just trying to figure out which one.
Jim?
Oh, so thank you.
George Henson. His lesser known cousin. Yeah. He's not up to Jim Henson's standard.
No.
He's a George Henson.
Yeah. George Henson is still learning.
I looked something up, and Phil Spector and Charles Manson have had some crossover.
That doesn't shock me.
They were in the same prison together.
When people thought, oh, wow. So when people think about Charles Manson, though, they forget that he actually, from all accounts, was a talented musician.
I've heard his music, and it's not terrible.
Yeah,
it's not great, but it's not terrible. Yeah.
So I was saying, like, he started wearing the wigs and stuff after the car wreck. He kind of became a recluse, but was still working. Then in 1981, he just stopped working altogether. The only time he really came back out to work was to help Yoko Ono produce her album after John Lennon died. So he helped her with that after John Lennon died, which kind of made sense if you figure, you know, he'd been involved with the Beatles so much and it was like a trying to take it. So in 2003, so he pretty much every once in a while he does a little bit here and there, but very little. Helped produce a couple of songs here and there. Do you know the band Star Sailor? So he started working with them and produced like one track off their album and then they fired him. I guess they said just differences and I don't know. So he doesn't really do a whole lot. In 2003, actress Lana Clarkson was found dead in Spector's home. A gunshot wound.
That photo.
Gunshot wound to the mouth. They found her body slumped over in a chair. Spector actually claimed it was accidental suicide, but his driver was the one who called into 911. And over the phone, he said that Spector had come out of the house with a gun and said, "I think I killed somebody." This really gets crazy after this, because I knew about all that. What I didn't know was the time frame here. That was 2003, guys. He gets out on $1 million bail and doesn't go to trial in 2000 until 2007, 4 years before they go to trial. The first trial is a mistrial, and the whole thing continues until 2009. He kills a girl in 2003 and does not go to jail until 2009.
The justice system.
He was convicted of second-degree murder, and I guess a lot of people outside of the industry were really shocked by this because they didn't know any of this crap. They didn't know about everything that was going on, but I guess to people who knew him personally, they weren't very shocked. They said he had a really just a weird kind of difficult life, and I don't know if he was into drugs. I have no idea, but it was pretty shocking when it happened, when we found out, oh, Phil Spector, the guy who's like helped set up the Beatles and worked with all these, he shot somebody in the mouth. Like, what? And it was so like, why did he do it? Because it wasn't premeditated, they don't think. It was just like, look at my gun.
Open up. My crazy hair, or lack thereof.
Oh, God. He looks like Mr. Burns. God.
I don't know why he's so smiling in the other picture. It's weird.
Right? He's finally done with all the hair for good.
Bizarre. That's what I'm going to look like bald, I think. Get ready for it. I'm going to wear crazy wigs. I always said that when I inevitably go bald on top, because it'll happen, I'm gonna buy wigs that are slightly not the color of the rest of my hair and always wear them a little cockeyed. And then I'm gonna make comments to everybody like, whoo, boy, did I feel the wind through my hair today, because it'll make them uncomfortable trying not to look at me.
Yeah.
Like... Just make a joke out of the whole thing. So this next one is another one that I remember watching, and I remember all the hubbub about this because I remember like people really being pissed off, like genuinely mad. But this one we're going to call the picture of the Pope. That's what we're going to call this one. October 1992, Sinead O'Connor performs an a cappella version of Bob Marley's War on Saturday Night Live. Everybody's cheering. Everybody's applauding. Everybody's really happy. Nietzsche whips out a picture of the Pope, Pope John Paul II at the time, tells everyone to fight the real enemy, rips up the picture, tosses it on the ground, and people lost their shit.
Yeah, they did.
Guys,
over a they photo. Lost their shit.
Yes. So first of all, the Catholics. The Catholics get way mad. NBC receives thousands of complaints. News outlets start running these kind of rude comments about her. Even Madonna lashes out against her, which I think is kind of odd considering Madonna's controversy.
It's Madonna,
right? Yeah.
Church. The Catholics weren't always so happy with Madonna either.
Like a prayer, like a virgin,
like a virgin, like a prayer. The Papa next week preach. On Saturday Night Live, Joe Pesci hosts. I don't know if you guys remember this. He tapes a picture back to or a picture together. Says he taped it back together, and he said on Saturday Night Live, "If I'd have been there, I'd have smacked her." Apparently, that's okay.
Yeah, that's perfectly fine. I mean, he's from Goodfellas. He's all right. Oh, yeah.
People applauded him.
What year did Goodfellas come out in, Kevin?
1990.
There you go. You know.
People applauded him. They were like applauding him for this stuff. So in full honesty, what we know now, like her performance was a protest against sexual abuse in the Catholic Church. But you got to remember, this is 1992, and allegations are just barely starting to come to light, right? And even then, people don't believe it's anywhere near what we later found out it was. Somehow she was ahead of the game and she knew.
Yeah, if Sinead O'Connor had done that today, she totally got away with it. Yeah, totally.
You know, it took 9 years after this event before the Pope admitted sexual abuse by some clergy, as he put it.
Right.
Yeah, because they
moved him around.
Which, by the way, is frightening to suggest how big the Catholic Church is,
dude.
That they can cover that's these things to this degree. It's just frightening. It's frightening.
There was a story like a few years back about how the Catholic priests were moved from like different locations in Pennsylvania. It was like in the thousands. Something crazy like that.
Yeah, it's nuts. They would, instead of like firing them or pressing charges against them, like you said, they would just move them. Yeah. They would move wherever an allegation was made, they would move them from that church to another church. And I'm like, it's insanity to think about it. And I don't, you know, you kind of wonder, like, how was she so far ahead of the curve? Like, what did she know and how did she know it? Which is kind of scary to think about.
Well, she was from Ireland, so.
And on top of that, she became a member of the clergy at one point in time.
Yeah. And she was quite the activist. You know, we know a lot more now. But that's the stigma of this thing followed her for a long time. Man. It was really hard. She was very outspoken, sometimes in a way that will get people mad at you just coming right out and saying things like that. You gotta, you know, she's definitely was one of those type of people, but you know, like I said, they followed her for a long time. And unfortunately, you know, she passed away. Was it last year? It was last year, right?
Yeah. Last year. I think so.
And, so RIP.
Yeah. Yeah.
The next one's a real short one, but again, people lost their shit. And I think it was because we didn't know what was going on at the time.
Was that a pun, by the way? Because I know what you're about to talk about. Because the person you're talking about was kind of short of stature.
No, that was not a pun.
No, not a pun? Just a fun coincidence?
Right. Oddly enough, there's a lot of coincidences here. This is 1992, and the song that Sinead O'Connor was famous for was written by this particular person. We're calling this one "When Prince Becomes a Symbol," literally.
Yep.
1992, he baffles everyone. He comes out and tells everyone he's no longer Prince, but he's some unpronounceable symbol. No one understood, like, why? We just thought he was kooky, which he was. But, like, why is Prince doing this? Why? This is so weird. None of us knew at the time. Well, I definitely didn't know at the time why this whole thing happened. But since we didn't know why, nor did we really know what to call him, the public gave him their own name, TAFKAP, TAFKAP. Do you guys know what TAFKAP is?
The artist formerly known as Prince.
Prince.
God, it was everywhere. It was everywhere. Jokes were made like crazy. And like I said, I didn't know until years later why he did this. Kev, do you know why he switched to this, his name to a symbol?
To pretty much get out of his contract with Warner Brothers.
Nope. That's pretty much why he did it. Mm-hmm. They had contracted him and something to do with the name Prince, which is bizarre enough. And so to kind of get away from all that, he just stopped using the name Prince. Why he didn't just go with another normal name, like, you know, I'm King now. I don't know. He just went with weird. but I think to him, it was almost like a way to give him the middle finger. I think that's what it was. It's weird to me because Kev and I have had this conversation many times that we find it very bizarre that for a while, Morris Day and the Time were signed under Prince's label, and he wouldn't let them use Morris Day and the
Morris
Time.
Morris Day and the Time, because he pretty much owned that name of the band. So
they released an album as the Original Seven.
And it was actually the Times, the Original Seven's best album. If you like a look back at their whole discography,
a really good album. It's a really good album, and they're now Morris Day and the Time again, or are they just the Time now?
I think they're Morris Day and the Time. I think the estate allowed them to use the name, which is wow. And the New Power Generation, they can't go by New Power Generation because of the same thing. So, yeah, Prince is very litigious like that.
It's weird that he would do that when that had been done to him. Like, I just find it shocking. Like, you know, because Morris Day, from the way I hear him talk, there was no reason. They weren't, like, mad at each other or anything.
Yeah.
It's just a weird thing. Prince was a strange guy who did a lot of strange things. I've heard some stories. If you've never heard the stories of when Kevin Smith was asked to film for Prince, like, they approached Kevin Smith and they were like, we're big fans of your work. We want you to come out and film. I'll give the real short version of this. We want you to come out, you know, to Paisley Park and do some filming for us, right? And Kevin Smith's like, I spent weeks out there filming different stuff. And he's like, I remember at one point, he's like, I came out, I was standing in the living room, and he makes some comment to all Prince's people. And they're like, shh. He's like, what? It's not like he can hear me. And they're like, yes, he can. They were like, the whole house is wired for sound. So I guess at any point, if Prince got an idea for a song, he could just like somehow record. I don't know. But Kevin Smith then approaches them. He films for like 3 or 4 weeks. And then he comes up and he gives them the footage. And he's like, so when is somebody going to cut this together? Is this going to be like a documentary? And they're like, oh, no, no, no one will see this. This is going in the vault. Like, they paid him to come out and film. And then, like, you know.
This is part of Prince's home movies. You know,
great. Yeah.
And speaking of the whole house being wired for sound, Kevin, what did he have in the bathroom?
Microphone?
No, he had a raspberry bidet.
You got to remind him of his own joke, you, man.
You set me up, and I should have. Oh, damn. I need a sad slide whistle.
Hold I'm on. Often curious like what this mythical Prince vault that we hear so much about, like, can you imagine like all the stuff that's in there? And I'm surprised more things haven't been released.
They're slowly releasing. They're trying to milk that Prince money as much as they can.
So this next one, why bury the lead? I call this next one Boobies at the Bowl.
Sure.
Super Bowl 38. I'm pretty sure it was 38. Justin Timberlake, Janet Jackson, they're on stage. Everybody's having a really good time. Janet was headlining, and then they decided, I guess, there's a whole backstory here about Justin Timberlake. One of his first concert was the Janet Rhythm Nation tour that he got to go see, and he'd always been a fan and actually reenacted some of her dances. So she's up on stage, and they call him out because he just dropped like a hit album. They're dancing, you know. JT belts out that final line, "Bet I'll have you naked by the end of the song." He reaches over, yanks off part of her shirt, releasing the right side of glory. This is when we all heard a phrase that became commonplace. Obviously, if you guys remember what the phrase is, but we had never really heard this phrase before this particular event, and now we've heard it a lot. Do you remember what the phrase is?
Was it nipple?
Wardrobe malfunction.
Call it Nipplegate, but wardrobe malfunction became because of this whole thing. Mm-hmm. Because we started hearing rumors right away, right? Like, oh, this was planned. You know, some people were saying it was an accident. Some were saying it was planned. Well, that's both kind of true. So the Parent Television Council promised to file. They're like, we're going to file indecency complaint. And the FCC started. They got more than 500,000 negative comments from the public. I bet all those were women. you know, no man's complaining. Like, I had to look at her booby. No one complained. So MTV's CEO Tom Freston said it was a stunt orchestrated by Janet Jackson, but an MTV representative confirmed that the costume tear was conceptualized by the MTV staff and said that nudity was not what they intended. There really wasn't nudity, by the way.
No.
You see way worse than that today on regular TV.
Right.
So CBS actually made Janet Jackson come out and apologize to the public. And if I recall, Timberlake.
Sorry, you saw my tits. I mean,
like, Justin Timberlake didn't get hardly any.
No.
Backlash. But I guess.
Hardly hear of Janet Jackson doing anything anymore. And actually, Justin Timberlake is still out doing things, owning MySpace and shit.
Owning MySpace.
He's still, you know, doing concerts and whatnot.
He's being a sarcastic little punk.
No, he does own MySpace.
I know he owns MySpace, okay. Like you said, she never does anything. Oh, he owns MySpace.
speaking on technological websites, I mean, I'm not sure, Jay, if you know this, but the whole reason why YouTube got started is because of this event.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, there was a couple of dudes who were trying to search for the video. Wonder why. Right.
They're like, man, if only we had some place to go to see this.
Somebody's already owned MrSkin.com. Gotta come up with something else.
YouTube.
So I want to, they made her apologize. And I want to kind of explain or say what she said. So she actually came out and released a video, and she said the decision to have a costume reveal at the end of my halftime show performance was made after final rehearsals. MTV was completely unaware of it. It was not my intention to go as far as it did. MTV, CBS, and the NFL had no knowledge of this whatsoever, And unfortunately, the whole thing went wrong in the end. I apologize to anyone offended, including the audience, MTV, CBS, and the NFL. I don't know, man. I think this is silly at this point.
It was 100% silly.
I do. I just think it's really ridiculous.
And you know what? Janet Jackson deserves some of that YouTube money. You know, I mean, would have been boob tube if it wasn't for that kitty. Just saying.
So I guess they decided at the last minute they were going to do a thing where, and you can see it in the pictures, by the way. Mm-hmm. They were supposed to rip off the like rubber bustier thing, and her bra had actually fell on one side. And so Justin Timberlake did not know that. And you can see in the video that she is in fact wearing a red lace bra. That's what was supposed to be showing. But she was still wearing the little nipple cover thing that looked like a sun.
If you It was very interesting.
So I have heard that it is not a cover like a pasty. It was actually a piercing.
No, it looked like a piercing. It looked
the nipple shield.
No,
go ahead.
Just prepping for this event, I really examined
did
that
the research.
Photo. Yeah.
No, you got the 4K zoomed in.
I did look at it once.
Enhance.
I looked at it really quick to determine whether we should put that picture up on YouTube or not. Decided, we won't, just to be safe. But
so you still think it's pasty?
Well, you don't see. You can't see anything.
I thought I saw a little bit of nipple with like a.
I mean, I think you wanted to.
Yeah.
Honestly,
let's check right now.
This wasn't even as hot as that. The cover. Of the magazine.
Oh, the Rolling Stone.
Oh,
yeah, that was hot.
Yeah,
Yeah,
we'll put that right up there if you're watching at home.
Yeah,
right.
If you remember,
what we're talking about.
They cut away at the at the Super Bowl. Okay. They cut away so fast, and they went to this like long shot of like the field. They were like, "Oh, boob." Meanwhile, there's one camera guy zooming in, like, this is my B-roll.
It's like, no one will ever see this video but me.
It's just so weird to think of how, like, batshit crazy people go over this. And I'm like, do you know some of the TV shows that are currently on the air and you got no problem with it?
Right.
But this is
Literally a show called Naked and Afraid, where people are just completely naked.
There's zero sexy about that show.
Yeah.
Zero.
Really.
That show is not sexy. All right, so we're getting into our last few, and this next one is kind of a big one, and we've always heard about it, but I didn't know as much. I never really looked into it because this is way before our time. This one I'm calling the Altamont Speedway. It took place in December 1969. There's a massive outdoor free concert. At this concert is Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, Santana, Jefferson Airplane, and a little band called the Rolling Stones. Grateful Dead were supposed to play there. They ended up not. After everything.
Smart move.
Oh, they were going to follow Stones. The Stones?
Yes. Ooh. Hell's Angels are on. No, they were not going to follow the Stones. Shit gets started way before the Stones. So Hell's Angels are on staff as security. What could possibly go wrong?
Yeah.
There's a lot of controversy between that, too, which we'll talk about in a second. But what could go wrong? What could go wrong? Well, I'll tell you what could go wrong. Four people could die. That's what could go wrong. One OD'd on LSD. Shocking. Two were involved in a hit and run. And 18-year-old Meredith Hunter was stabbed to death by one of them Hell's Angels security guards we were just talking about. There's a little more to it than that. We're going to get into that. But so they actually thought this would, and this happened not that long after Woodstock. This is 1969 as well, and they thought this would be another Woodstock, and this was going to be free. And I guess they were sort of right. Violence.
This is more like Woodstock 99.
It was a lot more like Woodstock 99, which hadn't happened yet for another 30 years. Shocking. Yeah. You know? So some people say that the Hell's Angels were paid. They were asked. This is true. Some people say they were asked to be full on security. There's some back and forth about that as to whether they were or not, but they were paid with $500 worth of free beer in the bed of a truck filled with ice. That's true. Rolling Stones road manager Sam Cutler said that they were not hired to be security. He said that they were just hired to make sure nobody tampered with the generators out there, that they weren't supposed to do anything else. But that's not the story.
Isn't that what security kind of does?
Wait.
So, no, that isn't what they ended up doing.
They tried to control the Hell's Angels.
No, they just asked them to from what he says, they just asked him to keep people away from the generators.
Yeah.
But this whole story gets a little different. So according to one of the Hell's Angels members, Bill Sweet William Fritz, and remember that name because he's going to come back up. He said he recalls his exchange with Cutler a little bit different. They had a meeting, and he says that Cutler asked them to provide security. And he said, "We don't police things. We're not security force. We go to concerts to enjoy ourselves and have fun." And he said, "Well, what about helping people out, you know, giving directions on things?" And he said, "Sure, we can do that." What ended up happening was the crowd started pushing forward early in the day, you know, kind of pushing up on the stage. Now, you've got bands like the Grateful Dead, the Rolling Stones, Crosby, Stills, Nash. Trust me, people are getting stoned on everything you can imagine. There's probably mushrooms and LSD. You know, it's crazy out there.
Ants, so, bats, whatever.
Biting the heads off them. So the crowd starts pushing forward. And at this point, the Hell's Angels guys are like literally sitting on the stage, like drinking beer, sitting on the edge of the stage, making sure people don't come up. So they start getting kind of aggressive because people are pushing forward. One of the performers, one of the smaller bands, the Ace of Cups was the name of the band, and their lead singer, Denise Jukes, actually ends up getting hit in the head with a beer bottle, and it fractured her skull. She was pregnant at the time. They had to take her to the hospital. Yeah, it fractured her skull. So the Hell's Angels grab weapons because people were starting to, you know, push forward. They end up grabbing, like, chains and
looks like maybe pool cues,
clubs, yeah, pool cues, yeah. So they're kind of trying to like hold the crowd back, telling people to fuck off, kind of, you know. So things start kind of getting again. Punches start getting thrown. Crowds start getting pushy. People start throwing some punches here and there. And one of Jefferson Airplane's members tries to settle things down. He kind of jumps down. He's trying to get everybody to calm down, and he gets punched and knocked cold by one of the Hell's Angels guys. It's at that point when the Grateful Dead are like, whoa, we're done. Like, this shit's crazy. We're not even going to perform, right?
Yeah.
So then old Sweet William, who I just told you about, he grabs the mic. He jumps up on stage, takes the mic out of their hand, and like Kanye, and starts arguing with the band themselves. Like, right? No, wait. I'm sorry, I lied. Grateful Dead never actually get to perform. It's Santana who refuses to play after that. Santana's like, we're not going to do it. So
still a smart move.
Steven Stills of Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young has said that he was repeatedly stabbed in the leg with a motorcycle spoke by one of the Stone Hell's Angels.
What?
Yeah. Fights start breaking out again all over. And they keep settling them down, but they get started again. Finally, a delayed Rolling Stones hits the stage. It's nighttime at this point. They're delayed by a flight. Mick Jagger gets punched on his way to the stage in the head. Doesn't even, you know.
Still got up on stage.
They get on stage.
Yeah, that's a showman right there.
Yeah.
And Jagger's trying to calm everybody down. He's like, everybody just chew.
Just chew.
Just everybody shut the fuck down. So he's trying to get everybody to calm down. And
if Bowie was here, you wouldn't be doing this.
People start calming down. They start calming down a little bit. So they start performing. They get to the third song, which is Sympathy of the Devil. Shocking. And things start riling up again. Fight starts. They stop. They stop playing. They're like, we're not going to play anymore.
Ironically, they get everybody calm down. Street fighting, man.
They get everybody calmed down yet again. They start playing again. They get a couple more songs in. Once again, fight breaks out. So there's a young man out in the crowd. His name is Meredith Hunter, and he tries to climb up on stage, and the Hell's Angel guy grabs him, like punches him, throws him back into the audience. Now a couple minutes later, they see him again pushing his way up to the stage. What we know is that his girlfriend tried to stop him. She was trying to get him not to go. He is blitzed out of his mind. Totally stoned, this kid is. God knows what he's stoned off of, but he's pissed. Oddly enough, it's not the Hell's Angels people he's pissed at. Some people say he looked pissed at the band, like he was trying to get up on stage to the band. There's actually video of this out there. If you really want to try to find it and watch it, you can. But what we know is he rushes the stage a second time, and at this point, he pulls out a .22 revolver. Hell's Angel member Alan Pissarro sees him pull the revolver. He pulls a knife out of his belt and charges after him. He pushes the gun away, stabs him. Now, he says twice. We know he was stabbed 5 times total. There's some problems with all this, though, because some other shit happened. So he stabs him twice, falls into the crowd. Witnesses say that Hunter was then stomped several times by multiple Hell's Angels members. They're punching him, whatever. So they don't know if Pissarro stabbed him 5 times. Some people were claiming that others were stabbing him once he was on the ground. Don't really know. Pissarro gets arrested and tried for murder, but he's actually acquitted because a jury got to see the concert footage and they concluded that Pissarro had actually acted in self-defense and might have actually saved some of the members of the Rolling Stones, because people think that the way he was acting, he wasn't going after the guy who any of those, he was trying to get up on stage. And when he pulled that gun, he was trying to get up on stage. So they think he might've been having a bad trip, and God, he could have shot Jagger. We don't know. So yeah, we don't know. The violence at the Altamont shocked rock and roll fans, particularly because it occurred just months after Woodstock, like I said. And this is one of those, you know, it's so weird when you hear about these like mass concerts, you either hear about Woodstock or you hear about Woodstock 99. That's really the litmus. And I don't think there's that many. We had the thing that happened here in Cincinnati.
The Who concert.
Where the state, but that wasn't the same.
No,
that wasn't violence. People were trying to climb up on the thing to see, and it collapsed, you know? So violence at concerts happens, but it's usually on a much smaller scale. So when it becomes this big scale like this, it freaks out. But like I said, two people were hit and run. Like two people got hit by a car, and I don't think they ever figured out who did it. You know, and somebody OD'd on LSD. That kind of stuff I expect. Like, okay, it sucks. Somebody overdosed at a Grateful Dead or a Stones concert. That's a bummer, right? But can you imagine if you're up on stage and you're Jagger and you're like, what the fuck is going on? We just got here. Mm-hmm. You're nuts, man. And somebody, so I guess they said that they saw, Jagger said they saw the guy trying to get up on stage and they saw him thrown off the stage, but they weren't aware till much later that somebody had actually been killed at the concert. They had no idea. So it's a big bummer, man.
Damn.
Big bummer. So do you think anybody went to that concert and they're like, yeah, man, it was a great concert, dude. Do you think anybody remembers it well? Like, because you never hear people come back from Woodstock 99 and go, no, love the whole thing. You hear people come back and go, it was pretty cool at first, but man, it just turned to shit. Yeah.
When the fire started, took a sharp turn downhill.
And nobody says, oh, that's where I met my wife. At Woodstock 99.
Oh, come on. Folks at home, trust me when I say the joke we just cut out was terrible.
If you guys haven't, we did an episode last season with the guys from Behind the Funny where we talked about Woodstock 99, because one of them was there.
Yeah.
If one of them was at Altamont, then that would be interesting.
I don't think they're that old. I don't think they're that old, but hey guys, are you that old? They're not.
Love you guys.
So we're going to go back a little, you know, a lot of this stuff sort of ties in because we talked about Phil Spector. Well, now we're going to talk about the Beatles being bigger than Jesus. So this is 1966 and John Lennon is giving an interview to the Evening Standard and he makes a really tiny little comment, just very tiny comment. He said that the Beatles had become more popular than Jesus. And Christians around the world,
especially the southern United States,
freak the fuck out, especially the Bible Belt of the United States. Yes. It's so funny because that happened and that just made them more popular than ever with the youngins. But it's bizarre because he later came out. So radio stations, they started boycotting them. They're burning records in the street. This becomes Nazi Germany. And I'll explain why in more ways than one. People start burning albums in the street, and the Ku Klux Klan comes out and protests their concert. So I'm saying, if you know you're on the right side of history, if the Klan hates you,
right? Pissed off the Klan, and they're like, "No, man, you can't be saying things like that. That ain't right." Now,
like I said, you know you're on the right side of history if the Klan is pissed at you. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm good. Cool. Oh my God.
So, I mean, they protested alcohol, so I mean that's telling you something right there.
Well, yeah.
Someone said they protested a lot of things.
A lot of things.
Protested.
It's the 60s, guys. It was a different time. Now we have Kanye calling himself his own messiah of sorts, mm-hmm. and nobody's burning his shit, even if they probably should. I'm just saying, it's so weird to think that in the 60s, and here's the thing, he came out and was like, I don't know if you've ever heard it, but he came out, John Lennon came out later, and he's like, I wasn't saying we were better than Jesus. I was just saying, like, and he probably wasn't wrong. He was saying, like, we've become so damn popular, we're almost as popular as Jesus.
By the numbers. Right. By the numbers, he's probably correct.
And I don't think at any point he would, like he said, I wasn't saying we were better than Jesus. It was just shocking to him. He was just making a silly, like, analogy. Like, oh my God, we're so popular. We're as popular as Jesus. And it's so weird because, like I said, 60s, and now Kanye calls himself Yeezus. And like, fucking walks
And the
out.
Klan loves him, apparently.
Yeah, well.
Jesus walks.
You said it, not me. Jesus walks.
Well, he's a white supremacist now. So.
I want him to remake the song and sing Jesus walks. And I loved it so much. And I totally agree. Sneakers. Like I said,
those shoes are horrendous, by the way.
Which ones are we talking about? His or the Trump shoes? Because those are pretty bad, too.
Those are pretty bad, too. Yeah.
The Trump shoes that haven't even been sent out. It probably won't be.
No. Yeah.
God.
Hey, that's another scam.
And both of those will set you back probably $400.
Right.
So we're going to hit our last one now, our last music controversy. And I think most people out there would probably know about this one. But we're going to call this the ultimate lip sync. That's what we're going to call this one. So Rob Politis and Fab Morvan. These two.
Morvan.
These two guys, Rob and Fab, they skyrocket to fame in the late 80s. They looked weird, sounded cool, and had catchy songs everybody was singing, right? Their debut album had 5 top 5 singles, and they even went on to win a Grammy in 1990 for Best New Artist, Milli Vanilli. And that might have been the start of their problems, winning that Grammy, actually. Might have been the start of their problems. So it was the folks at MTV that first started to question things. They kind of brought up the fact that in interviews, they really weren't speaking very good English, and yet they were singing perfect English. And then during a 1989 concert, a hard drive messed up during their concert, and the line, "Girl, you know it's girl, you know it's girl, it's
girl, you know it's,"
starts playing over and over, and one of the dudes runs off the stage, and downtown Julie Brown goes and like yells at him to get back on stage.
She's like, "Wubba, wubba, wubba, get back on stage."
You know what's weird though is he comes back on stage and like no one even acted like anything happened, because we've seen people lip sync before.
Oh yeah. You know.
Ashley Simpson.
So a quote then comes out in Time magazine where Politis said he was the new Elvis. And then he said they were more talented than Bob Dylan, Paul McCartney, and Mick Jagger.
And now, Jesus.
No, amazingly enough, he didn't go that far. He just, but he did say John Lennon, which was basically as famous as Jesus. No, he didn't say that either. So they've actually later said that they were taken out of context with that quote, and that he wasn't trying to say what he said. He just didn't have a very strong grasp of the English language. So he wasn't trying to say they were more talented. He was trying to compare in a different way. I don't know whether it's true or not. But what I do know is it ruffled some feathers. And when a certain singer slash rapper named Charles Shaw heard that, he decides he's going to step forward. And he calls them out, saying he was one of 3 singers on the album and called these guys a fake. So their producer, I forget his first name. I have it somewhere, but his last name is Farian. We're just going to call him Farian. He then pays Shaw $150,000 to retract his statement, which he does, but it's too late. It's out there. People are like, what now? What's going on? So the public's pissed. Everybody's like, what's going on? Are these guys screwing around with us? You know, because they just won a Grammy. We're buying their albums. What's happening?
They just blamed it on the rain.
Shut up.
I knew it was coming at some point in time.
So there's some important things I want to get to kind of explain the situation and then explain what actually went wrong. So these two guys are actual singers. They were singers and dancers, and they formed a band in Munich, right? Mm. And they're out there. They recorded an album and stuff. They're struggling, though. And they meet this producer, and he tells them, he takes them into the studio, and he plays this demo for a song called Girl, You Know It's True. They hear it, and they're like, yeah, we could do that. We could sing that song. And he's like, cool, I'm going to make you guys millionaires. And he gives them a contract, and they sign it. The problem is, they didn't really understand what they were signing at the time. And they just signed it because they were struggling, and they were like, oh, we're going to make money, whatever. And he's going to let us sing, and he's going to let us record. So he starts touring them around, like, Europe and stuff, and he's having them lip sync to tracks he already has recorded. And they don't like this. They're not very happy about it. And they keep asking him, like, well, when are you going to let us record our stuff? And he keeps stringing them along, saying, I will. Don't worry. Don't worry. So they record this album, and it has this hit song off of it overseas. And then they have him redo the album, and they release it in the United States, and it becomes massive. Well, then he looks at him and says, well, now you guys are in it. Now you got to do it. We can't let it be known now that basically they didn't even know this was happening. He's telling them, just do this for now. Trust me, we'll get you guys famous, and then we'll record your album. And they're buying it, whatever. So he then hands them like $20,000, and he says, you guys, you're in it. We can't let you out. So you can't tell people, but you're huge successes now, right? People want to hear your stuff, and I'm giving you money. And they're like, okay, I mean, what are we supposed to do? And they're under contract, you know, so what are we supposed to do? Mm-hmm. They were never happy about it. I guess they always wanted to record their own stuff. So I told you that this guy comes out and says, I'm one of the singers. They pay him to redact statements. So now this whole controversy, are they lying? Are they telling the truth? So they decide, we've had enough. They start pressuring Farian, saying, we want to record our own stuff. We want to record our own stuff. Now the public's kind of getting pissed at him. Like, are you guys lying? Are you telling the truth? So he fires them. And then he outs them. The dickhead fires them and then tells everybody they were fake the whole time.
Which was him doing that in the first place.
Yeah. Right? Now, don't get me wrong. It went to their head a little bit. Of course, they're young guys. They're suddenly famous and they're in the money. But it really kind of sucked for them because they never, I think you hear these things about young people getting caught up in stuff where they don't really know what's going on around them. And they're getting fame and fortune and girls and money and everything. And they were never really pleased by it. They always wanted to record their own stuff, and they never understood. So I don't know if you guys remember, but when people called him fake, one of them like stood up and started singing. He's like, we're not fake. We can actually sing.
Yeah.
And it's kind of sad because lawsuits started coming out of the woodwork. And one of the places that sued him was Ohio. Well, I mean, rightly so. People were like, I started thinking about it. Like, what were the lawsuits? People were suing because they bought the album, thinking it was somebody else. Now, I think that's kind of ridiculous, but can you imagine if you went to a concert and you paid for the concert? Wouldn't you feel a little like you got dicked?
Good
a little
point. Bit? Yeah.
Like, point. You know, so lawsuits start coming out and they start getting sued, and it really sucked for them. As we know, unfortunately, one of the guys has passed away now. But the other one, I believe Fab is the one that is still around. I think Rob Pilatus is the one that passed away. But Fab is actually, he actually has a career now as a singer. He tours, and you can go see him, and he performs some of the music for Milli Vanilli, which I think is pretty great.
Yeah.
But this was a big deal, man.
And I know the two guys had a rough time after all this controversy. It was pretty hard for them.
Yeah.
I'm glad, you know, Fab is kind of doing his thing.
Yeah, so they ended up recently, and you can watch it. It's on one of the streaming services. I can't remember Peacock or Hulu or which one, but there's actually a documentary out about it now. And I think after that documentary, when people kind of saw what happened to them, I think it kind of helped when they realized, hey, these guys got kind of dicked around, man. They were played. And when we start finding out what some of these execs and stuff did to people, I think yeah, people sided with him. But yeah, he tours now and he sings and he's not bad. And he does some of this music and I'm kind of glad. It just really sucks for Rob, you know, because unfortunately he's no longer with us.
No.
But yeah, it was just one of those things, man. They got royally screwed over. It's weird because I remember hearing about different stuff. I'm going to go off music topic for a second and talk about, you guys remember hearing about, for example, oh man, some lady spilled hot coffee on herself and then she sued McDonald's. What kind of bullshit is that? Yeah. And then there's some kid tried, oh, he saw that you could win a Harrier jet from Pepsi and he tried to get investors to buy the jet. And then he tried to sue Pepsi. Well, there's a documentary called Where's My Jet? Pepsi, Where's My Jet? Yep. Watch it. It's on Netflix. It's fascinating. What we were told, Pepsi ran this kid's name through the mud and they made him look stupid. He actually had valid points and actually did want the Harrier jet. I know it sounds weird. He wasn't just trying, and he had one investor, one dude. It's a whole thing. And it's because he figured, and they offered him a case of pop. I kid you not. It was ridiculous. And the old lady who burned herself, well, they proved that coffee was way hotter than it ever needed to be. And it shouldn't have been. And it like fused her thighs together. It was so hot. So we get told one side of things from, you know, from the people with all the money in the media. And then later down the road, so we find out there's a little bit more to the story. And that's kind of what happened with these guys. And what we're telling you guys is, you know, don't always believe the first thing that's handed to you. Make sure you get the truth.
Consider the source, do your own research.
And I know that's difficult sometimes. Like we live in a day and age where it's like, if somebody comes out and says like, somebody sexually assaulted or whatever, it is like, it is hard. Like we want to believe right from the start, but it's like, we've seen cases where people have lied. Mm-hmm. So we sit back waiting like for more information, like what's going to happen next. Usually by the third or fourth, we're like, oh, they're an asshole.
Right.
You know, they're an asshole, but you got to watch you got to really sit back and wait for the facts. Don't just jump the gun on people because we don't know what the hell. It is weird what people have accused people of just to get famous. It's bizarre. People are weird. We're some weird motherfuckers. So those are just some of the controversies. We've got more waiting in the wings. We'll do more episodes. It was really, where do we cut this one, you know, and save some for next time. I'd like to hear from you guys out there. Like what are some of the, like, first of all, what are your thoughts on some of these that we've talked about? Where do you stand on, are you team Swift or team West? But seriously, what do you guys think about some of these and what you recall being some of those like massive controversies in human history and music history is what I meant to say. Yeah. Yeah. So give us your thoughts. There are a couple ways you can do that. I don't know if you knew that, but you can do that. We are on social media. We are on a lot of, we are Tapeworms, fans of the Mixtape Podcast, !! Over on the Facebook. That's really where you want to go. We do a lot of interacting over there. We post about things coming up. For example, we have a screening on the 22nd of March at Humble Trauma Screening. Lloyd Kaufman will be out there. We're going to be showing Eating Miss Campbell. It is a horror comedy. You should come out and see that. We did this 2 years ago with a different trauma movie, and it was a blast. It sold out. We had standing room only, so you might want to get your tickets now. It's going to be a good time. Filmmaker, comedian Ricky Glore is going to be out there. He's going to be hosting the whole event. He's going to be talking about his upcoming film. There'll be food trucks. Lloyd's going to come out and do some signing. Toxic Avenger will be out there, and we'll be there. So, you know, I mean, not all of us. Matt won't be there, which sucks. Oh, but Kevin will be there, and he'll bring his side whistle and everything. Hey, I think he just did. Groove is in the heart.
Hell yeah!
It's been requested by Matt. No, so
that's not
the best way to find out information about that. You can go over to humblemarkbrewing.com. You can go to themixtapeshow.com. You can buy tickets through both of those, or you can follow us on social media. Like I said, Facebook is great.
Link will be down below as well.
Twitter, we are on Twitter or X or whatever you want to call it. Matt runs our Instagram over there. and we are on TikTok. So you can check us out on all of those. We've been putting a lot of videos out on TikTok. And if you're not watching this, we've been putting videos up on YouTube because we have a YouTube channel now. And we are releasing all of these episodes at some point as video as well as audio. So you can go over there and check out the video. The first couple were a little rough. We just decided to do it, and we had a lot to fix. And Matt and I have spent countless hours
fighting and fighting and fighting with it
and trying to get everything worked out. And I think we're finally starting to get it to a point where it's looking good and it's going well. So go over and check out some of those videos on YouTube as well. Guys, is there anything you guys want to add before we close this thing out?
Yeah. Check out Lyric. Jason Emmett up there.
Appreciate it. This guy right over here.
Yeah. We are at, as of the recording of this, there are 14 chapters of the 18 chapters released. And basically, I wrote a book. It's a horror novel. And I decided a few months back that I was going to just release it as a free podcast. So, yes, you can go check out Lyric, the novel. It's the easiest way to find it. Anywhere you find podcasts. I guarantee you, wherever you're listening to this, it's on there as well. So you can go over and check that. Thanks, Matt. I appreciate that.
No problem.
It's good almost stuff. Done. Almost done. There is a Patreon if you want it all up front with no ads and no bullshit from me because I talk before every episode. But it's free, so you don't have to do the Patreon. You can just go listen to it because I wanted to give that to you guys because I love you guys. So, but thanks, Matt. I appreciate that, man. Yeah. For those of you watching, I know Matt has wore his. I got my beanie cap on.
Yeah.
Here soon, we're going to be trying to sell those. Yeah. We're going to be redoing all the merch on the website. So that'll be one of the few things we sell. And these things are awesome. I know the video probably doesn't do it justice, but these things turned out really well.
Looks pretty good.
Yeah, they're really cool. So,
and they're not super heavyweight, so they're not like winter exclusive beanies.
No.
They're just nice, good quality hats.
Yeah, they're really good quality, actually. So very happy. Yeah. All right, that's it, guys. We appreciate everybody checking out this episode, and we hope you join us again next week when I don't know what we're going to be talking about, but we'll figure it out. We have lots of topics in mind, and it's a lot of times it's just working out which one fits best. So we'll let you know when we know, and the best way is just to listen because that's when we're going to let you know. All right, guys, we love you. Thanks for listening, and until next time, remember to always
stay awesome. Awesome.
I like the point, Matt. That was
Thank you for watching the mixtape. Don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe. Click the bell icon for notifications when new videos come out. And remember to always stay awesome.